Recording stopped.
When I say we're ready, you stop the recording?
Recording in progress.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Paskachyade Sitarani. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpa Jubrascha Kripa Sundabhyabhita Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavabhidamo Namaha. So today is the 28th of January and we're reading, studying Nectar Devotion. As this is Servitude Part 2, we're looking just at the meeting in separation in Sambrahma division of servitude. So this is the end of Chapter 37 through Chapter 38 and 39 with the VIHE. So we were actually just talking at the beginning about acknowledging, we definitely acknowledge Bhanu Swami's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Also, I started using David Haberman's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which was very hard to get. Some materials I'd gotten from Vraj Kishore, The Waves of Devotion, Vijay Somasundaram, Hari Parshad, and Ridhandanamars have all helped at various points. So, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is the mellow of devotion, the nectar ocean of the mellow of devotion, and we are in the Western Ocean, which is where Rupa Goswami goes into depth on the five varieties of the primary sti bhavs. And we are looking here at servitude, and this is part two. I find it of interest and of note that in this Western Ocean, Rupa Goswami gives the most space to servitude and the least space to conjugal. So this is the second wave of the Western Ocean. So again, this is Nectar Devotion, the chapters, the end of 37, then all of 38, all of 39. This covers Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 3293 to 143. And we're still in servitude, and we're still in Sambrahma, division of servitude. So if you can remember, those are the four types, right? Those who are appointed servants, like the demigods, those who are recipients of mercy, right? They want relief from suffering, or they want to gain knowledge, or they are interested in the Lord's majesty or the Lord's sweetness. And then we have the parishad, the associates of the Lord, like Uddhava, and then we have those who follow after the Lord, like Raktak, who are almost like friends. So those are the, and the Gaurava, which we'll be discussing next class, are family members. So Sambrahma are not family members and Gaurava are family members. So Gaurava are subordinate family members. And Sambrahma are subordinates who are what we would think of as servants. So if any of you had servants in your family, or if you've spent some time in countries such as India where people have servants, so the servants may be, they're sort of kind of part of the family, but they're not really the family. Now this is a whole section on separation and meeting in the servitude ras sambrahma priti. And there's some, Rupa Goswami has a section on separation and meeting for each of the primary rasas. In neutrality, it was in the form of hidden and visible. So in hidden, you only saw the Lord in the heart. In visible, you saw him face to face. The particular delineations of separation and meeting that we're going to be studying today apply to the servitude ras. They actually apply to the other aspect of the servitude ras, but there's the slight manifestations in Gaurava, which we'll be looking at as part of Gaurava next class. And they apply to friendship and parental. And we'll notice when we get to friendship and parental, there's Rupa Goswami doesn't give as extensive of an explanation as he does here in this section, because he's giving you the basic form of separation and meeting. My own guess is that servitude being sort of the basis, Jivera Swabhaya Krishna Nityadasa, of all relationships with Krishna above servitude, the main four relationships. So Rupa Goswami really wants to establish that very, very clearly. In conjugal rasa, there are also separation and meeting, but they're in somewhat different categories than we'll find here. So these categories apply, again, to servitude, friendship, and parental. Both kinds of servitude and friendship and parental. All right. So this is the basis of this entire class, is these definitions. So yoga and ayoga. So that's pretty easy to remember, right? Yoga and ayoga, that Srila Prabhupada often talks about how yoga is addition. And ayoga would be subtraction. So yoga is addition, ayoga is subtraction. So yoga is meeting and ayoga is separation. And there's two kinds of separation and three kinds of meeting. So utkantikam is a separation where you haven't met the Lord yet. You're wanting to meet the Lord, but you haven't met him yet. All right? So this is not difficult to understand. Just like, you know, if you're preparing to go to a college or university and you're anxious to go there, you haven't gone there yet. You haven't seen it yet. You're anxious to travel someplace for the first time you haven't been before. Or you've ordered something in the mail and it's coming and you're looking at the pictures in the catalog and you're maybe following the progression of the courier who's bringing it, what city are they in now, but you haven't gotten your package yet. So longing before ever meeting the Lord. Or parents who are expecting a child, the woman's pregnant, they haven't met the child yet, they're anxious to meet the child they haven't met yet. So then what's called siddhi or perfection is when you meet for the first time, right? You get your package in the mail, you arrive at your destination, you're meeting someone for the first time that you were planning to meet. So the child is born, right? So that's first meeting. Then there's viyoga, which is separation after you've met. You think about going to Vrindavan, you get there for the first time, and then you go home again. So you've separated after meeting. Right? Then tusti, satisfaction meeting after separate. You go back to Vrindavan again. You go there a second time. And then sthiti, eternal association, you live there. you get a house in Vrindavan, and you live there. All right. So what do you think would be more intense? Utkantikam or viyoga? The separation before having met or a separation having already met? Anybody? What do you think would be a more intense form of separation?
Separation after meeting. Okay.
Separation after meeting, yes. Yes.
Otherwise we are really, really longing the Lord. We are never going to meet him. So from my perspective, I thought utkantikam.
You thought that would be... what was the... There's a place in the Bhagavatam, if anybody can remember the context, which said, I'm just like a poor man who's after gotten some money then lost it. Now, that's more intense. So if you... if you've been poor your whole life, you may be wanting to be rich. But let's say you become very, very rich and then you lose it. Like sometimes there's news stories of a person who gets a winning lottery ticket and then they threw it away. So they're going through the whole rubbish heap at the garbage dump looking for their lottery ticket. So they were not that anxious when they were buying a lottery ticket in the first place. I mean, just think about that, right? If you get a quantity of money and then you lose it, you don't know where you put it. So that kind of separation is much more intense than when you want money in the first place. Okay, we have Narada Muni in his life as a maidservant's son. Yes, when he hadn't. Yes, after he... That's a very good example, Vinata. Yes, that after Narada saw the Lord and then the Lord disappeared, it was very intense. So this is the relationship, longing before ever meeting, then perfection with the first meeting, then separation after meeting, satisfaction meeting after separation, and this can keep going on. You meet after separation, then there's again separation, then you meet after separation, then you get, so this can be a loop. And then steadiness, eternal association. Okay? Which could happen after the first meeting, or it could happen after meeting or in separation. All right. So we're going to go into a breakout group for 10 minutes, and I'd like you to discuss what is this whole conception of meeting and separation when the soul has an eternal relationship with God. So we have an eternal relationship with God, and yet in rasa, there's meeting and separation. How do those two things go together? So we're going to go into breakout rooms for 10 minutes.
Recording in progress.
So now we're going to look at ayoga, what Prabhupada calls subtraction or separation, the two categories. And please be taking notes to prepare for a discussion on these. So again, the two categories are utkantikam, which is longing before ever having met the Lord, before ever meeting the Lord, and viyoga, separation after meeting. We had a question is, how are we going to remember all these terms? Well, you've got the five components of rasa that you definitely should remember, especially after the Southern Ocean. You may or may not remember the Sanskrit terms, but at least if you can keep the idea, that's sufficient. All right, so we're going to look first at ukantikam, or longing before ever meeting the Lord, and this is it's general, again, as we said, these categories apply to all aspects of servitude, all aspects of friendship, all aspects of parental, but we are looking at these today specifically in regard to the servitude rasa, and particularly into the sambrahma part of the servitude rasa. These are the servants that are not family members. All right, so this is wanting the desire to see the Lord when the devotee has not seen him at all. This is utkantikam, so before having seen the Lord. Now, one may have seen the Lord in scripture, one may have seen the Lord as a deity, one may have seen the Lord in the holy name, but one is not seeing the Lord face to face. We had this question, if you're seeing scripture, aren't you seeing the Lord? And we can think of the stages of meditation as described in Nectar of Instruction, Text 8, purport by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, which our Srila Prabhupada quotes, and is also described in Jiva Dharma, in Harinam Chintamani, and in his commentary on Raghunath Das Goswami's Manashiksha by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also described by Jiva Goswami, I think in the Bhakti Sandarbha. So the first stage is hearing about the Lord, then there's accepting what one hears, then there's meditating on what one hears, was once heard in the mind. Then there is the revelation in the heart of the Lord, and then there is seeing the Lord face to face. Like Dhruva was seeing the Lord in the heart, and then the Lord appeared before him. And of course, that is in neutrality, the hidden invisible are these, seeing the Lord in the heart, and then seeing the Lord face to face. All right, so here's an example. So King Ishvaku, because he was so attached to the Lord, he got rati, he got some love for a black cloud because it was a color of Krishna. The Krishna Saradir because of its name, and a lotus that resembles Krishna's eyes. So anything that all reminded him of Krishna filled him with love. And I'm thinking in this sense about the descriptions of Krishna in the world that we find in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam, you know. A body's of water, I am the ocean, a fish is, I am the shark, I am the light of the sun, I am the light of the moon, or with different descriptions of the universal form, that the clouds are his hair, the trees are the hair on his body, the birds are his artistic sense. so that everything around us, we even can be experiencing this separation, this longing before meeting, being instigated or stimulated by the things of this world. And we have Akura, who he realized the perfection of the eyes is fulfilled when we're able to see Lord Krishna. And I really like how Srila Prabhupada explains this in Krishna book, how Akura was aching to see Krishna and to be recognized by Krishna. He wanted Krishna to say, "Uncle Akura," and this would be his perfection. So it's interesting that although Akura is a superior family member, his mood is that of Dasya. He's a servant. And Srila Prabhupada writes about this, and he said that if we are not recognized by Krishna, our whole life is condemned. So I find that fascinating, because a lot of what motivates us materially is being recognized or acknowledged by other human beings, or maybe even by an animal. Your dog gets really happy when you come home at work. So, you know, this desire to be recognized, this desire for profit adoration and distinction is really motivating us in this world. It motivates a lot of what we do, that we want people to think well of us. We want people to recognize a relationship with us. I mean, there's some biological imperative that if we're not accepted by another group of humans, it's very hard for us to survive physically. But it's not that we just give up all desire for recognition, but we want to be recognized by the Lord. We want to be recognized by the Lord. As Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So this longing for the Lord to say, "Well done, and good and faithful servant," for the Lord to recognize us, is an example of longing before meeting. I like Srila Prabhupada would quote Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati as saying, "Don't try to see God, but act in such a way that God will see you." You know, it's like you're working in a company and the proprietor calls you into the office to see you. Of course, like in school, if you got called to the principal's office, that usually meant you were in trouble. It wasn't a desirable thing. But with Krishna, it's very desirable to be called into his office. All right, so we're going to look at Vyavachari Bhavs. What are the various emotions in this longing before having seen the Lord? As I said, in this section, Rupa Goswami goes into a lot of depth. Now, he does some of this in regard to the Gaurava part of Dasya, and he does some of this in friendship and in parental, but not as much as he does here. So he says that all the Vyavichari Bhavs can appear in this longing before ever having met, but there are some that are very common. So in the situation where one is longing to see the Lord before having met him at all, the Vyavichari Bhavs of eagerness, humility, disappointment, thoughtfulness or anxiety, restlessness, inertness, madness, and bewilderment are very common. So again, this is in the separation before having met, and this is specifically for the servitude rasa, and this is particularly for the servants who are not family members. And I tried to get pictures here that really bring out a mood of longing before having met. So you can let me know how successful I was with that. So here's eagerness. Bilva Mangala Thakur. Interesting, Bilva Mangala Thakur was also given as an example in neutrality, because he went from impersonalism to personalism. And we know Bilva Mangala Thakur talks about having Krishna as a lover. But even the lovers have some aspect of Dasya Bhav. So he says, "How can I pass these thankless days without seeing you?" I'm reminded of George Harrison's song, "My Sweet Lord." He says, "It takes so long. Why is it taking so long? In separation, the time seems to pass very slowly. When will I see you? When will I see you?" Now, I found this next one really interesting, that I had never thought about this. I just had never thought about it before. You know, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he has servants in Mathura who haven't seen him, because right after his appearance, he went to Vrindavan. So therefore, the servants in Mathura were having this longing before having met. You know, we usually talk about the separation of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, but here we have the separation of the inhabitants of Mathura. And Uddhava was writing a secret letter to Krishna. Did you ever think about that? That Uddhava was writing a secret letter to Krishna in Vrindavan. Where are you? I haven't met you yet. My mind is always morose. I cannot perceive any peace under any circumstance. I am feeling every moment to be like many long years. Humility. This is also by Bilvamangala Thakur. This is from the Krishna Karnamrita. I am bowing down before you with all humility and sincerity. Would you sprinkle a little water of your glance upon me? Please remember to be taking notes. So this is another example of humility. Even Shiva cannot see you. But I am more insignificant than an insect and full of sinful acts. Although I am unqualified for prayer, I am still praying, O friend of the fallen, that you bathe me with your glance. So humility, I'm not qualified, and yet I want it anyway. I think one of the problems I see again and again in our devotee sangha is people saying, I'm very qualified, therefore I cannot want it. But here we see this longing before having met is, I'm very unqualified, but I want it anyway. Of course, Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. So we should try to be deserving, but we're never going to feel that we're deserving. We're never going to feel, yes, I'm qualified to see the Lord. I mean, if you feel that way, you're in trouble. disappointment or indifference, again, different, can be translated in different ways. So Uddhava, again, writing to Krishna, he said, my eyes are unfortunate. I cannot see the effulgence from your toenails. Although I see so many scriptures, so my eyes are being used to see the scriptures, but I can't see your toenails. Let there be destruction of my eyes and all my pride in learning. What is the use? You ever feel like that? I'm chanting, I'm studying the scriptures, I'm serving, and I still haven't seen Krishna. What is the use of everything I'm doing? Oh, useless! Now, if we think that way in tamagun, that's something else. But to think that way in love, I want to see you. I want to be. I'm doing all this to see you. I'm doing all this to be with you. Now, again, although the shastra is Krishna, the holy name is Krishna, still one wants to personally see the Lord face to face. Anxiety. I spend my nights sighing in grief, thinking myself unqualified for seeing the lotus feet of the Lord, although I have such longing to see them. So this anxiety, yes, Ashabandha, hope against hope. Yes, thank you, Vinita. And restlessness, this is also by Bilvamangala Thakur. Your naughtiness in boyhood is the most wonderful thing in the three worlds. You can very easily understand my flickering mind. I'm simply yearning to know how I can fix my mind on your lotus feet. So I'm just, how can I do it? I'm so restless. Another example, and this can also be translated as impudence. So we had the question is why can this be called impudence? Because again, he's saying, without considering my lowly position, my eyes are just like black bees desiring to hover at your lotus feet. So there's this juxtaposition of, I'm not qualified, but I'm going anyway. And how is this different from humility? Because the focus here is on, I don't care. So in humility, it's, oh, I'm so fallen. And yet I want to see the Lord. I mean, oh. And here it's like, I don't care how fallen I am. I want to, where is he? I want to see him. Even though I'm fallen, I want to see him. I'm just impotent. I don't care that I'm fallen. I still want to see him. We have inertness. Prahlad is one of the exemplars of the Dasya Bhav in Sambrahma. So inertness in Bhagavatam 7.4.37, that Prahlad remained an inactive child because he was always in trance. So someone asked, well, if he was always in trance, how did he go to school and instruct the other students? And so again, these are Vyavichari Bhavs. These Vyavichari Bhavs, they are transient emotions. They come and go. They don't leave lasting impressions like the secondary sthayi bhavs. So they come and go without leaving lasting impressions. And if you remember, or you know, you want to look back later, and in the Southern Ocean, when we looked at Vyavichari Bhavs, and we looked at you can have one Vyavichari Bhav at a time. You can have more than one at a time. You can have one that follows from another and takes over from another. You can have several at a time. You can have, if you have several at a time, they can be from one cause. You can have several at a time from multiple causes. One can come and join the other. One can come, one fades and one emotion comes. There can be nested Vyavichari Bhavs, like sometimes even in this world, underneath our anger is fear, or underneath our fear is shame, right? Or we have underneath our wonder is joy. So we have these, this is the Vyavichari Bhavs. It's not that he never spoke to anyone and he was always like a stone. These were Vyavichari Bhavs. So another example of inertness, a Brahmana whose body didn't move, eyes didn't blink, and was like a statue. He was staring at a black cloud, remembering the hue of Krishna. We have an example of madness with Prahlad. Prahlad would loudly call, this is from 7440, Prahlad would loudly call in full anxiety. In jubilation, he would dance in ecstasy. Sometimes he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Of course, this example of madness is also there for the gopis when Krishna leaves in the rasa dance and the gopis get to such a point of madness that they feel oneness. And we should remember there is a chintabheda beta tattva. We do have a oneness with God also. Another example of madness, Narada sometimes danced naked, became paralyzed inappropriately, laughed loudly, shouted intensely, played about without fatigue, and wandered around as if in pain. Looked like a mentally ill person. Bewilderment, again, Prahlad. When Prahlad was thinking himself unfit to approach the Lord, he used to cry and faint. So his humility bewildered him. And here is an example of bewilderment. Our teacher's life is almost gone due to the fire of separation, like a holy place without water. Pour the nectar of the Lord's name into his ear to revive him. All right, so this was all separation before having met the Lord. Now we're going to look at Viyoga, separation after having met the Lord, which is, again, generally speaking, more intense. So when one attains the association of the Lord and then becomes separated from him, that separation is called Viyoga. Okay. So when Krishna went to fight with Banasura in Sonitapur, so Uddhava was there in Dwarka and he's feeling separation from Krishna. He's thinking of Krishna being out there fighting and he gets practically stunned into unconsciousness. So now we're going to look at the Vyavichari Bhavs. This is again specific for Sambrahma, the servants who are not family members. And this is in separation Viyoga, which is separation after meeting. So these are the Vyavichari Bhavs that are common in this situation. A feverish condition, a withering of the body, lack of sleep, mental instability, non-attachment, inertness, appearing diseased, madness, unconsciousness, and death-like symptoms. So let's look at a feverish example. So Uddhava telling Narada that the lotuses that remind him of the Lord's eyes and the ocean that reminds him of the Lord's color all give pain because they're associated with fire. So there's fire under the ocean, there's volcanoes under the ocean, that's how most of the islands in the ocean are formed, and the lotus is associated with the sun, and so those things give him fire. And he said the blue lotus were friends of the moon, remind him of Krishna in general, so they give him pain. So anything that is associated with the sun gives him pain, and anything that's associated with the moon, because Krishna isn't there. And so therefore he's feeling feverish in all situations, withering. So some servants remained in Dwarka when Krishna went out because they had to do necessary services. I mean, this is true like when Krishna went to Kurukshetra and the residents of Raja came, so not all of them came. Some of them had to stay back and take care of the cows. So the same way when Krishna goes out of Dwarka, there are servants who have to stay there and take care of things in his absence. So here it's, the arms of all your servants have become thin and pale in separation from you. The swans think those arms are stems of the water lily because they're so thin. King Bahulasva, in long separation from Krishna, couldn't sleep. I didn't have a picture of King Bahulasva awake. Someday if somebody wanted to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, they could hire artists to illustrate each of these perfectly. And an example of mental instability. So Maharaj Yudhisthira, not seeing Krishna's lotus feet, my mind wanders about, not being fixed anywhere. This one's interesting. Non-attachment. This is Krishna's servant in Vrindavan. Raktak, the chief servant, which we studied about last class. In separation from you, Raktak closed his eyes on seeing a peacock feather. He is no longer attentive to pasturing the cows. He has left them in a faraway pasture and has not even bothered. I have a mistake here. He's not even bothered to use his stick to control them. So he just doesn't care about anything anymore. You know, and materially, this is kind of depression. Why bother to do anything anymore? Yeah, but this is a Vyavichari Bhava's kind of ecstasy. So inertness. And when Krishna went to Indraprastha to see the Pandavas, Uddhava became wet with tears and perspiration and ceased to move at all. Later when we study friendship, we'll study about the separation that the Pandavas feel. So appearing diseased. So when Krishna left Dwarka to find out the Shamantaka jewel, Uddhava became so afflicted that he showed symptoms of disease. And everyone in Dwarka said, that Uddhava, he's nuts. He's just crazy. He's mentally ill. He's really diseased. Uddhava just couldn't tolerate it with Krishna going to get, especially in this case, Krishna going to get the Shamantaka jewel. You remember that the residents of Dwarka waited outside the cave for, I think it was 12 days, and Krishna didn't come out, and so they thought maybe Krishna had died or something terrible had happened to him. So they come back to Dwarka and they say that, you know, Krishna went into this cave and we don't know what happened to him. So this was a very intense kind of separation for such intimate servants as Uddhava. And madness example. So Uddhava went to Raivataka Hill praying and bowing down to black clouds when Krishna was away. So he was just, again, so crazy that he just starts offering obeisances to the black clouds, fainting. So Krishna's servants in Vrindavan, they can't sleep at night in separation. They lie down on the bank of the Yamuna, almost paralyzed. They're almost dead with very slow breathing. And to go all the way to death-like symptoms. So when Krishna left Vrindavan, his servants dried up like lakes with lotus flower in the hot sun and the swans leaving. So this is a poetic metaphor. So the residents of Vrindavan are compared to lakes. The lotus flowers are their souls. The swans are their life air. And the scorching heat is their separation from Krishna. So the scorching heat of the sun has dried up the lotus flowers of their soul. And thus the swan of their life air seems to be leaving the lakes of their bodies. Okay, we're going to have a breakout session, and I want you to discuss what is similar and what is different about the two kinds of separation, Tanikam and Viyoga. What is like and what is different between separation without having met and separation after meeting? Okay, we have a 10-minute breakout group.
Recording in progress.
Okay, so now we're going to take a 10-minute break. And please take a real break. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
Recording stopped.
Indeed.
Recording in progress.
All right, so again, take notes in preparation for discussion. So here we have three kinds of yoga, three kinds of addition. Perfection, which is the first meeting, siddhi. Tusti, satisfaction, meeting after separation, and sthiti, steadiness or eternal association. Look at each of these three in turn and do take notes. All right, so if we're going to look at siddhi, perfection after first meeting, and again, this is in the category of meeting or addition yoga, specific to the servitude rasa and specific to the servitude rasa of Sambrahma, which is the servants who are not family members. All right, so this is related, of course, to Utkantitam. So Utkantitam becomes resolved in siddhi. So the longing before having met is resolved in this first time meeting. So here's an example of perfection, Bilvamangala Thakur. He describes how does Krishna meet his devotee? With a peacock feather on his head, with Madakata jewels on his chest, those usually refer to emeralds, his ever-enchanting smile, his restless eyes, his very delicate body, and his gait more praiseworthy than an elephant in must. So this comparison to mad elephants in must, we find in many places. So we had a question is, how does an elephant in must walk? So I actually looked up some videos. You might want to do that after the class. Elephants in must, how do they walk? So these are bull elephants, and I don't know if it's unique among mammals, but I haven't heard of it in other mammals. So in mammals, the female goes into heat, into estrus, into a fertility cycle. But generally the males do not. However, with elephants, although males are always fertile, they go into periods of heightened fertility where they have six times the testosterone of normally. And this state is called must. It can last for a few days. It can last for a few months sometimes. And when a bull elephant is in must, it has some symptoms. It has like some liquids that are coming out of its forehead. It becomes very easily agitated and aggressive. And it also has a distinctive walk in must that it doesn't have at the other. You can tell just by the way the bull elephant is walking that it's in must. It's a kind of swagger with its head held high and its ears erect. And this is it's a very beautiful kind of walk. And people who live in areas where there are wild elephants, not so many of those in the world anymore, they see this. So obviously at the time these scriptures were written, people were quite familiar with wild elephants. Tame elephants, the keepers usually prevent must. So as soon as they see the first signs, they give the elephant no food and water for a couple days, and then it goes away. In the Western countries, they consider that cruel. So what they do is they just lock the elephant up until it goes away. I don't know. It lasts for months. So I'm not sure which is more cruel. Another example of perfection. So Akura, when he saw Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan for the first time, he fell down upon their lotus feet to offer respectful obeisances. So again, I find this interesting because Akura is an older family member. You might expect him to be in parental ras, but although he's an older family member, his mood is as a servant. His mood is as dasya. All right, we're going to go now to tusti, satisfaction, meeting after separation. So again, this separation was more intense, separation after having already met, and then meeting again. Right, so this is the Viyoga separation after meeting is resolved by tusti, or satisfaction of meeting after separation. So this is from Bhagavatam 1.11.10. O Master, if you live abroad all the time, then we cannot look at your attractive face, whose smiles vanquish all our sufferings. How can we exist without your presence? So this is when Krishna was returning to Dwarka. Right, Krishna left Dwarka to fight battles, like the Battle of Kurukshetra. He left Dwarka to go to Indraprastha to visit the Pandavas. Another example of satisfaction is when Daruka, Krishna's chariot driver, when he saw Krishna at the door of Dwarka, he forgot to offer him respects with folded hands. So that's interesting, because one of the main anubhavs of the servants is this offering of respects. But he forgot. He was so filled with joy in seeing Krishna. All right, so now examples of sthiti, examples of eternal association. And Rupa Goswami says, when you live with Krishna permanently, that is called sthiti. Sthiti means to stay, place, to be steady. So this is when Krishna was staying in Mathura and then in Dwarka. So Akura would talk with Krishna about the activities of the Kuru dynasty, when they were together all the time. And Uddhava, when he's always with Krishna, he's massaging the lotus feet of Krishna while kneeling on the ground before him. This is one of those nice times when you find, you know, an artist actually illustrated this particular thing in the nectar devotion. So that's always very wonderful. So what are some of the anubhavs in yoga? Particularly working at sthiti. So when you're with Krishna eternally as his servant, there's no separation, you're just with Krishna, you have the sense of being with him eternally, what do you do? So the servants, they carefully perform service whenever there is an opportunity. Right, remember one of the primary demarcations of this sthibhav of being a servant is this eagerness. It's like the defining principle of the dasya ras, is this eagerness to do service. So whenever there's an opportunity, then they do it very carefully. Right? Whenever, and then they're always sitting down in front of Krishna to receive orders. What service do you want us to do? What service do you want to do? I'm here ready. Just like if you speak to some of Prabhupada's servants, they're always ready to hear that bell, Srila Prabhupada's bell ringing, to say, come and do service. And sometimes you'd be sitting outside the door waiting to serve Srila Prabhupada. All right, so now we're going to have a breakout room. What is similar and what is different in the three types of meeting? So meeting after having never seen Krishna, meeting after separation, and always being with Krishna. So those three types. Again, the first type is you haven't seen Krishna at all, you see him for the first time, the first meeting. The other kinds of meeting, you've seen Krishna and he's left, now he's come back. And the third kind, you're with him all the time. So what is similar about all these and what is different about all these? So we'll do 10 minutes here. All right.
Recording in progress.
So Rupa Goswami asked this question, is reverential servitude really a rasa? Is it really?
Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
All right, there we go. Rupa Goswami asked this question, is reverential servitude really a rasa? And somebody said, how can anybody even ask that question? Well, somebody can ask whatever question they want, I suppose. And the answer is that some people who have no taste for bhakti, they say, no, it doesn't reach the state of rasa. It's too reverential. There's not really a taste. Now, of course, that's not our personal experience with the mundane rasas. So we definitely get a taste from serving someone in reverence, but some people say, nah, You have to have more intimacy for it to be rasa. So Rupa Goswami gives some evidence. He says in the Bhagavatam itself and in many of the Puranas, we see Dasya as a rasa. And he quotes from the Bhagavatam 11.3.32, describing the symptoms of servitude as exhibiting signs of rasa. That devotees who serve Krishna cry, laugh, they're jubilant, they dance, they sing, they serve the Lord. Sometimes they're in trance. And then he also quotes Bhagavatam 7.7.34, again, servitude with symptoms of rasa, that hearing about the Lord brings jubilation, crying, faltering voice, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. So those are what? Crying and faltering voice are what? Anybody?
Sattva kebabs.
And chanting and dancing in ecstasy are what? Anybody?
Anubhavs.
Very nice. Okay, so those two Bhagavatam verses give a general description, but there are also different exceptions. There's individuality. all right, so we can have at this point a discussion on what we've gone over so far. Anybody, any questions or anything that you'd like to discuss? Otherwise, we will end class very early. Yes, Kamali.
Jai. Well, in discussing all these symptoms, especially the previous exercise of the, the 10 symptoms of, like the madness and insomnia and sickness and death-like symptoms. Is this what we have to look forward to? Because, we're generally aspiring for the happiness of Krishna consciousness, the bliss, like more experience in the chanting and in the dancing and the feasting and the hearing. And then if it's going to end in this, maybe we'd rather not make too much advancement too soon. Mm. And this is supposed to be like happiness, to have this kind of insanity and everything.
Let's see if I can pull up here. Wondering if I can find it quickly. But Rupa Goswami, I probably don't know it exactly where it is. It might be in the Vyavichari Bhavs, where Rupa Goswami brings up, oh no, I know where it is. It's not here. It's where he talks about, it's in the Southern Ocean, where he talks about the secondary sthayi bhavs. So, part. I think it's here. Where he asked this question, are some of these really happiness? Right? Is that actually happiness? Oh yes, here we go. Apparent suffering in rasa. So let's go here and kind of review that. Oh wait, I have to do that. I didn't do that properly. Sorry. It wouldn't have worked. So this was from the end of the Southern Ocean. Where spiritual separation, which is what we're talking about, is the full form of rasa in astonishing bliss. Right? It looks like it's a pitiable condition in devotional service. So it may appear distressing to the inexperienced student, but the expert devotees say it's ecstatic. So Prabhupada talks about inexperienced and expert, and this is analyzed by Rupa Goswami as the bottom level, those who don't know anything about rasa, gramya, those who are mistaken about rasa, agya, those who understand about rasa, prajna, intellectually, which would probably be the majority of our members of ISKCON, those who experience the stage of bhava, and those who are experiencing rasa, so those who are in prema. So you have, people in general don't really know anything about spiritual rasa, and then there's people who have mistaken ideas, then there's people who understand it theoretically. That would be the majority of sadhakas. And again, rasa cannot be experienced until bhava. So before bhava, one can experience in raganuga sadhana, one can experience these different bhavas separately. So one can experience the sthayi bhav, or the rati, the vibhav, the vyavichari bhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, but they don't combine into rasa until bhava, when they start to, and then in prema they fully combine. So if we look here, those who experience rasa and those who are bhava, they find out how blissful. And Rupa Goswami picks these three secondary sthayi bhavas to talk about: lamentation, fear, and ghastliness. I find it interesting he doesn't mention anger. I guess because people from material anger can have some idea that it might be fun. Those who understand rasa intellectually cannot taste the bliss, but they can understand it. And only those who are ignorant are like animals, reaching wrong conclusions. So we at least want to have an intellectual understanding. Right? And then he says that those who experience rasa, they have bliss in separation and lamentation. They have hope of meeting the Lord again. Those who are in bhava have bliss from hearing about it. He was talking about lamentation. About fear, those who experience rasa, their bliss is from the hope that Krishna will be freed, and those in bhava, their bliss is from the reassuring words of the advanced devotees. In ghastliness, those who experience rasa, they have bliss from the action of the Lord to crush these disgusting elements, and those in bhava, they have reassurance. So what's our ultimate proof is the experience of the soft-hearted devotees. So those who are actually there, they say, this is really nice. Like Gopa Kumar says, this dances on the head of all other happiness. And the example is the Ramayana. Why is Hanuman singing the Ramayana, which is full of Karuna Ras? Now, on a material level, we sometimes have the experience that something appears awful to us, and someone says, actually it's really good. I'm just thinking of the most mundane example. When I was a kid, that the other kids, we used to buy this ice cream. It was vanilla ice cream that was dipped in chocolate. And it was, summertime, the ice cream truck comes. I don't know. Those of you who aren't from America, I don't know if you have ice cream trucks, but at least in America, in the summer, the ice cream trucks come, and the children all run out. They have the udipana of the bell ringing and stimulates our desire for ice cream. Anyway, so some of my friends would put peanut butter on their ice cream. And I'm like, yeah. And then I tried it and it was really good. So, we can hear from the experienced devotees. But I agree with you that there's some hesitation, I think, to say, well, wow, I advance in Krishna consciousness, I'm going to go crazy. I actually had this discussion years ago with Burajan Prabhu. I said, I'm afraid of spiritual ecstasy. That time I was in graduate school. He said, you're afraid you won't be able to finish your PhD? I'm like, yeah, I'm afraid that if I become an ecstatic devotee, I'll be useless. And he said, well, look at the Goswamis, look at Srila Prabhupada. They were experiencing all these ecstasies and they were very functional people. So Prabhupada Priya says, in a pure relationship with Krishna, there's no duality. Ah, Rukmini, nice thing. So ones who say Dasya Rati does not reach the stage of Rati are Agya, it seems. Yes, very nice. And just different flavors of bliss. Yes, and I give this analogy all the time that, you know, you go to an ice cream shop. When I was little, we used to, two ice cream analogies here. When I was little, we used to go to this ice cream shop that had 33 flavors of ice cream. My father always liked pistachio ice cream. Whenever I eat pistachios or see pistachios, I remember my father. Or you go to, in Dubai, we have a Govinda's that has, I don't know, a lot of flavors of ice cream. And they have Sitapal ice cream and Chiku ice cream. Like, wow. So it's all ice cream, but it's different flavors. And I have a devotee friend. This doesn't, I don't like it, but I have a devotee friend who used to put hot chilies on cake and eat it. Different flavors. Okay, Prema Charangani said, I noticed no Vyavichari Bhavas were talked about in Siddhi, Chusti, and Stiti. Is it true? Is it that one is too stunned and overwhelmed? Seems like at least in Stiti there would be Vyavichari Bhavas. Yes, definitely there are. So, you know, look how long this is. This book is altogether. So if Rupa Goswami gives examples of everything for everything, then, you know, already the book is like this big, Bhakti Rasamrita Samhita. So that would it would be too much. So he just gives some samples. So yeah, it's interesting, you know, we'd have to ask Rupa Goswami, why for this one do you give Vyavichari Bhavas and this one you don't, and why for this one do you give Anubhavas and this one you don't? But if there's rasa, then all of the bhavas must be there. Yeah. And of course, Rupa Goswami has already, which we discussed in the last class, talked about the various Anubhavas and Vyavichari Bhavas in general for servitude in Sambrahma. And most of those were applicable to meetings. So in one sense, you could say he's already talked about that. Any other points of discussion or questions? I had somebody request more question time at the end, so I tried to do that at least for today. Prabhupada Priya.
So which is better, meeting or separation?
Well, I don't know. I'm just a fallen rascal. I'm barely even a sadhaka. What do I know? I can't. That's above my pay grade. I mean, from my perspective, I feel like meeting would be a lot better than separation. But we have these devotees who say that the bliss of separation dances on the heads of all other happiness. So I'm going to be in the category of those who just accept the words of the great devotees and say, it must be true because they're experiencing it. But from my perspective, I'd much rather be with Krishna than be separated from him. I feel like I've already been separated from him for so long in the material world. I really don't know. I'm not looking forward to a bliss of separation. Costa Rica.
Hi, Krishna. One example I was thinking is Jai Vijay. Like, they were eternal associates in the Dhartharas, but they have got cursed and they've fallen down. Mm. So they got to meet Lord three times. So will they also would have experienced some of it? And also they must be in the Stiti, right?
Yes.
But now they might have gone through Tusti. Right.
Very good. I'm so glad you brought this up because, like, we got these examples of Uddhava. Uddhava is an eternal associate of the Lord. You could say he's in Stiti. At the same time, he's undergoing this Uttanikana. He's writing to Krishna from Mathura that I haven't seen you yet. I haven't seen you yet. So, especially in the Lord's pastimes in the material world, even the Nitya Siddhas go through this. You know, I don't know if you ever saw the old Sita's Wedding movie. So, you know, Ram and Lakshman come to Mithila and they're walking in the city and Sita sees Ram in a garden and she's seeing him for the first time. So, you know, all the time she's growing up, she's heard about Ram. but then she's seeing him for the first time. I like that. You know, and then they have a wedding. Now, Ram and Sita are eternally married. But yet they have a wedding. And every time they have a wedding, it appears to be fresh. So even the eternal associates, even the consort of the Lord. I mean, it's really interesting when the Lord appears as Nrisinga Dev. It says in the Bhagavatam that Lakshmi Devi, she'd never seen this form, and so she was afraid. And I was thinking, how could she have never seen this form? Lakshmi Nrisinga is eternal. And Krishna feels like that. Not only the devotees feel like that. You know, the Acharyas in their books write about how when Krishna sees Radharani, he's like, who's that? Is it lightning in a cloud? You know, is it a creeper? Like that. And when we go to the spiritual world, Krishna's like, I'm longing for you. Mahalakshmi, I answered your questions in the class. There's fire under the ocean, there's volcanoes under the ocean. So just like I've spent time in the Hawaiian Islands, and in the Hawaiian Islands, the islands are made of fire. Where does the fire come from? It's fire under the ocean. It's volcanoes under the ocean. And the fire is so powerful that the ocean doesn't immediately put it out. I mean, what happens is the fire comes out of the ocean, and then the ocean cools it. And so it creates earth. But yeah, there's fire in the ocean. How does it have to do with impatience? Because he was saying, even though, and I did talk about this at that slide, even though he's saying, I'm so fallen, still I want to see you. So this is impatience or impudence. Anybody else? Advaita Krishna.
So, in relationship to servitude with all, how would you qualify the relationship of Nakul and Sahadev with Krishna, which is different? And also, when it comes to like being in servitude, like for example, you see in this material world, an advocate of a prime minister, he's first only serving the prime minister. That was the example I was thinking when last time you said. He's not concerned about anyone else, only serving Krishna. So like an adhika serving a president or prime minister. But also there are so many, say for example, a prime minister and his private secretary always serving him, but in awe has to knock the door and come in. So in culture, in normal culture, or Vedic culture, or families that sometimes you have experienced growing up, there's so much awe also, even between older brothers and older sisters. And sometimes you may be called even to serve them.
Yes.
So it may be quite a big thing, servitude, dasyaras with awe, and still feel like, you know, love, and therefore has a rasa.
Yes.
Even materially, that experience is there.
Yes, yes. Nakul and Sahadev, this is going to be brought up, interestingly enough, at the end of the session on parental, where there Rupa Goswami talks about mixed rasas. Now he talks about mixed rasas also in the Southern Ocean. So in the Southern Ocean, when Rupa Goswami brings up Staibhav, which is the last wave in the Southern Ocean, fifth wave I believe, he talks about that people can have mixed Staibhavs. And he brings this up again in this Western Ocean, in the fourth wave, the end of the fourth wave. So we'll be discussing this at the end of the parental ras. And he gives examples of Nakula, Sahadev, and Narada, who are mostly friends with some servitude. So the primary rati is that of friendship, but they have some servitude mixed with it. And this would be contrasted to Uddhava, who his primary rasa is servitude, and he has some friendship mixed with it. So in the end of the Southern Ocean, Rupa Goswami was saying that there's Kevala, there's those who have just one, that's it, they have just one rati. You know, just servant, or just friend, that's it. And then there's others who have some mixture. But those who have a mixture, there's one that's prominent. And so they're known by that prominence. So Uddhava is known as a servant, and Nakul and Sahadeva are known as friends. What I found interesting is that even those who, because servitude and parental are opposite. In servitude, Krishna is revered, and you're a subordinate. So in the Sambrama, you're a subordinate like a servant, and in Gaurava, you're a subordinate in the family. And then parental, Krishna's a subordinate, and you're the superior. But we do have people who have mixed parental and servitude. So we do have that. Like here we have Akura, who's an uncle, and you'd think he'd be in parental. But he's actually primarily in servitude. I don't even know if there's some parental mix with it, but primarily in servitude. Whereas Kunti, who's an aunt, is just purely in parental. We have Ugrasena, who's in parental mixed with servitude. So in his case, he's primarily in parental and somewhat in servitude.
Are these mixtures more sort of relevant to relationship within family or general?
I don't
because
think so.
Because we see examples, it's always within family. Like in Nakula and Sahadeva with Lord Krishna.
They're family members.
You know?
Well, are they family members? Because I think Krishna's related to them through Kunti, to the Pandavas through Kunti, not through
Kunti. Yeah, of course, they're cousin brothers, and they're treated like younger brothers, and Bhima and Arjuna treated as equal, and Yudhishthira is treated with reverence by even Lord Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering, I mean, there isn't a blood relation with Nakul and Sahadev. I mean, you know, Pandu is the uncle by marriage, and then Madri's another wife, so Madri's not related. Just like it was said that Balaram killed the brothers of Kamsa, because Balaram, being the son of Rohini, was not related. That Krishna killed Kamsa, even though he was a cousin of Devaki. And normally you don't kill an uncle, a blood relation uncle. But then Balaram killed the other brothers of Kamsa, because he didn't have any relations. So I think in the same way, Nakul and Sahadev really, they're sort of related by marriage, but they're not really related. So if they appear outside of the family, I'm pretty sure what we did have examples of this outside of family. I mean, certainly it occurs with the cowherd boys, like the younger cowherd boys who are not family have some mixture of dasya, and the older cowherd boys have some mixture of parental. And in parental, we'll read about how some of the older gopas and gopis, some of them have a mixture of friendship because they joke with Krishna.
Thank you.
But and thank you for bringing this up. It's so sweet, huh? Vishalaksha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for nicely you are explaining the nectar of devotion wells. Thank you so much for that. My question is that just like a person standing on the in the bank of the ocean, but not driving in the sea waves to take bath. Similarly, these nectar of devotion is very nicely, philosophically understanding, but how to realize and taste it in our own life.
Thank you. Thank you. So I think with this meeting and separation that we talked about today, I mean, you know, I'm not realizing this at the stage of Baba. So I'm not even realizing the beginning of Rasa, what to speak of actually the Rasa of Prema. I'm just a beginner in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes I don't even know if I'm a beginner. But still, we do have some experience. You know, certainly we have an experience of, I want to see Krishna, I haven't seen him yet, I want to see him. You know, we read something in the Shastra and we're like, wow, I want to see him. You know, like I had someone ask me about how is the Krishna's gate the way he walks, how is that more praiseworthy than a mad elephant? Right? So I was looking at these videos of mad elephants, bulls and musts, how do they walk? And then there's some desire. Oh, it would be nice to see how does Krishna walk? So that's a kind of, I mean, it's, as I say, it's a very undeveloped stage, but that's a kind of longing to see Krishna. And then we may have some degrees of meeting Krishna. We may have some experience of ecstasy, even if it's just a shadow ecstasy. And then we want to experience that again. I mean, I heard this story of these devotees who were out on traveling Sankirtan, and they stopped at a gas station, they stopped at a petrol station, and as they stopped, one woman ran out of the station, ran up to them and said, "Are you the Hare Krishnas?" "Yes, yes, we're the Hare Krishnas. 5 years ago I met one of you, and you gave me this little white ball to eat, and it was so good. I've been thinking about it for 5 years." So that's separation after meeting. On a beginning scale. But still it's separation after meeting. So we also have these experiences. You know, we'll have an experience in kirtan, in japa, and then it's gone. And we're like, where, when can I get it back again? When can I get it back again? When can I get it back again? And we have experience of understanding something for the first time. You know, you open up the shastra and you read something and you get some understanding for the first time and you're like, wow. Or somehow you're looking at the deities that you've seen every day, but somehow you see something for the first time. And, oh! That we have some first time meeting. And then we have an experience of meeting after separation. You know, we had some incredible experience during japa, and then it went away, and everything was dry for a while, and then again we find Krishna in the holy name. And we have some experience of just feeling a sense that, yes, I'm there with Krishna, I'm there, I am. That there's no meeting, no separation, there's just, I'm just simply with Krishna. So we have some little idea. I mean, there's one place where Prabhupada writes, prema is there in an immature state, even in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, even at Adushraddha. So at least we get an abbas, at least we can get a shadow or reflection of these things. That even a non-devotee can get an abbas by hearing the scriptures, by going to a festival, by being in a holy place, by being around the devotees. So what to speak of those of us who are sadhakas? We can certainly get an abbas of these things, all of these things. And please keep in mind that this nectar devotion, it's written not only for siddhas, it's also written for sadhakas. Rupa Goswami wasn't writing this just for siddhas. If he was, Srila Prabhupada would not have written a summary study of it and had us distribute it in parking lots and airports. You know, I mean, I was out distributing nectar devotion to people in airports, ordinary people. So if it were only for perfected beings, we have some literatures that, you know, we don't distribute to people in general. But nectar devotion we do, and Prabhupada called it the science of bhakti yoga. So this is meant, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, we're supposed to be captivated by this. Of course, Kamalini was saying we may be repulsed by some of it. We may be like, I don't think I want to be an insane person crying and becoming stunned and falling on the ground, and I don't know if that worked very well. So some of it we may actually find not so attractive. But we should be captivated by this information. How can I fall in love so much? You know, materialists, they fall in love to the point of madness. They do, but never to the extent of these emotions as described here. I mean, even animals will give their life to protect their children, for example. So there's intensity of emotion. Prabhupada writes that in the beginning of Nectar Devotion. He said even a tiger has love in a dormant stage. But what to speak of with Krishna? We all have some experience of this, and this is meant to captivate us. It's meant, I want that, I want that, I want that. And to meditate on, some of us will want some of this and not want other parts of it. We're all individuals. Some of that wanting some parts and not others is due to our material conditioning, and some of us wanting some parts and not others is due to a little awakening of our actual rati for Krishna, that certain things will attract us. You know, like I had some people write me and say, I'm not interested in neutrality at all. And I said, well, probably that's not your rasa. So, you know, to some extent that's going to be awakening. It should be awakening. After so many years of chanting, there should be a little, like we have in the Tulsi greenhouse right now, a little teeny tiny itty bitty Tulsi growing, volunteered in one of the pots. Very delicate. Needs to be sprayed with water several times a day or she'll die. So we may have a little sprout like that. All right.
Thank you so much, Madam.
So just to review at the end here. Okay, so we have this relationship between the bhavas to form rasa. So we have the emotions. One way of looking at this is the emotions of the vyavichari bhavas and the one's basic rati produce sattva in the heart, and this manifests as anubhavas and sattvika bhavas. Another way to think about it is the dominant rati in the heart is stimulated by the vibhavas, and as well as the vyavichari bhavas and the secondary sthayi bhavas that produce the anubhavas and the sattvika bhavas, and that basically all of the other four bhavas acting on the sthayi bhava produce rasa, the stimulants, the emotion, the basic connection, and the taste. And the basic connection produce a taste. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada, by whose grace we can gain, even as Prabhupada said, we understand this to a minute degree, then we attain all perfection. So thank you very much. And next week, Krishna willing, we'll also be doing servitude, but they will be doing servitude within the family in Gauravan. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami, ki jai. Yeah.